Welcome to Spark Your Fire Podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
G'day everyone, welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. I'm your host, David Shee, and with me today is our co-host, Jazz Stana, based in Melbourne. Jazz, how are you doing today?
I am really good, David. We are enjoying the weather in Melbourne. It's awesome out here, nice and sunny, 27 degrees.
I thought you already, you know, you had your cover blown last time since we got Andrew Egan on the show, right? I know you've got a nice sunny background in your computer, laptop, which is what you're looking at right now, but I'm sure it's a sunny day out there, mate.
It's all about imagination. I've got a beautiful wallpaper, there's a sun, there's a beach, and nice clean sand. So I'm enjoying it. I'm on the beach.
I'm waiting for you to tell me that you're recording this from like somewhere exotic, like Bahamas or somewhere, you know, like I've been waiting for that day. And I'm sure our listeners are waiting for that day to come as well. You know, when you can hear the waves in the background.
One day we will do it, I'm sure.
Yeah, let's go. I'm just sipping my cocktails at the moment. Give me 5 minutes, David. I'm not ready, so.
I'll be a little drunk, so my stats could be wrong.
Okay. Well, as long as you got it right on your computer, which is important, so that should be okay.
Of stats, I was looking at the auction clearance rates.
Oh, yep.
You guys are killing it, mate. Sydney, 82.31% total number of properties auctioned, almost 730.
And I thought Melbourne's got the top of the crown this week, isn't it?
Yeah, well, Melbourne's auction clearance rate was a little bit lower, but the number of properties was roughly 200 more. So total number of auctioned, 977, and the auction clearance rate was 77%.
I think the numbers, like if you're talking about 977 properties that's on auction for Melbourne, I think that's pretty close to the Super Saturday figures. I think during the peak, it's gone up to about 1,100 or even 12. I think it was 1,100, around that. So, you know, it's pretty close.
Yeah. But for those number of properties, you can clearly tell the rate cuts that RBA did in the last few months. It is playing out pretty well for them.
It definitely sparked a fire, let's put it that way.
Sparked
the fire on a Barbie and sparked the fire on the conversations around a Barbie about property. That's what I'm hearing that everyone's been talking about.
You can tell from the number of applications that we are processing and all as well, or the inquiries that are coming through. It just shoots up all of a sudden.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, put a sizzle underneath the burner, and that's what the property market's currently doing. But you've raised a good point. And, you know, I thought today, you know, that's a good lead in terms of what we can discuss a little bit, which is, you know, given the rate cuts, given the free rate cuts that's happened in 2019 so far, we're starting to see some very attractive fixed rates coming back in the market again. And I know you've got some unique interpretations in terms of fixed rate, you know, looking at the 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, up to 5 year. And there's unique interpretations from those, which I thought would be something that's good for you to share your wisdom with our listeners on your thoughts on this. Do you need to put a patent around it?
I think I should. No. On a serious note, David, you were telling me before the St. George came out recently.
Yep.
And their 1 year, and correct me if I'm wrong, but their 1 year rate is higher than 2 years and 3 years, right?
Their 1 year, okay, so I've just got the figure in front of me at the moment. So they've just recently released this on the 14th of October, and they say this new rate, this new fixed rate changes is effective as of Monday the 14th of October. Yep. Okay, and there's a few bands around it. So depending on your LVR, and what we'll do is we'll use LVR up to 80% as a bit of a general guidance. So up to 80% for St. George on an owner-occupied PNI, so principal and interest repayment, the fixed rate for 1 year is 2.89.
Yep.
The fixed rate for 2 years is 2.89. The 3 year is 2.89 all the way to 5 years. Okay, so that's the same, literally. Right. So,
And while you're on that, do you know the variable rate as well? What the variable is?
Sorry, for owner-occupied P&I, I would say they would hover around the 3.3 to 3.4. I say
3.4. Mm.
So it depends on, obviously depending on the amount and the amount of loan, but I would say it would hover around those ranges.
Yeah. So just based, sorry, apologies to the listeners, I didn't have the stats in front of me. David did. You and I, David, we both know pretty well. If the variable rate is higher than the fixed rate,
mm-hmm.
which is the case here, so keeping the loan to value ratio of 80%, which is the standard, right?
Yep.
Bank is offering 2.89 for up to 5 years, right?
Correct. Yes.
And their variable rate they are suggesting is 3.3 at this point, right? So yep. That clearly tells you what bank is predicting. The only time bank will have their fixed rate lower than the variable rate is if they are hoping that the rate is going to go even lower, right?
Yes. Correct.
So it's a good, it's generally a very good indicator. There's a good chance that the rate is going to drop again. So for the people who are planning to make a purchase, unless they are really, this really now, whether people should fix it or not, that's another question, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're hoping another rate drop to happen in the next few months, right? Then it really comes down to the person's personal situation, whether they should fix it or not. If you really want the certainty of the payment, where you know that you've got a limited cash flow, and it's going to be a little harder to make repayments if the interest rate goes up, then it's always good to fix it. Yep. You know what the repayment is going to be, irrespective of whatever, right, happens to the market. But with the variable, obviously, it's going to fluctuate. Although we are saying is this is going to be a pretty good indicator that tells us that the rate is going to drop further, and we have already seen 3 rate cuts this year. And if we look at the RBA's statement that came out, which is from the governor, Philip Lowy, in the statement it was pretty clear that the market is not performing as well as expected. And we can see that in various other things like the construction numbers and all that, even though the auction clearance rates are pretty good, but all the other numbers aren't looking that very great, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So long story short, this is one of the good indicators to look at. If the rates are lower, fixed rates are lower than the variable, generally you can tell that there's a possibility that if the rate is going to go even lower.
Mm-hmm.
And then it depends upon the personal situation where you decide whether you want to fix it or not. Because if in case you are an active investor who's, let's say, or a renovator who's going to buy the property and sell it in the next 2 years or 1 year, right? We know that if you're on a fixed rate and if the rate drops, then there's going to be an exit fee, right?
And then it's a penalty fee, basically, to break free, isn't it?
A break fee, yeah, right?
Yeah.
You want to, you obviously want to avoid that break fee where possible. If you know that you're going to be in the market for very short term because you're a builder or you're a renovator or whoever else, right? They're fixed in that category. I mean, it's probably best to stick with a variable. But for the owner-occupiers who are planning to buy their principal place of residence to live in, where they're going to be for the next few years, right, and they know they are restricted on the cash flow, it's probably a smart move in that case to fix it because you know what the payment certainty is, right?
Yep.
But otherwise, if you've got enough cash flow, and you, let's say, you're still an owner occupier, but you've got decent cash flow. Where if the rate goes up for whatever reason, the prediction doesn't work out, then you're still not affected that much, right? And you can still think about fixing it because it's only gone up. This is the first time it's gone up after so many drops, right? So generally, that's a good indicator to say, you know what, probably now is the time to fix because the rates are going to start moving in the other direction,
right? And it's interesting you raise that because I think back in, 17, there were talks about the rate's only going to go back up from this point onwards. And I clearly remember around that time because that was a time when I actually fixed part of my loans as well. And, you know, looking back, as the fix just came off literally a couple months back, and I look at it and I look at it and go, because I fixed it around, it was investment IO, fixed it around a 4.6 to 4.7 around that time. Anticipating that the rates is going to go back up because, you know, RBA has been calling, kind of saying the next one will be up, the next one will be up. But then it never happened. As a matter of fact, in 2019, with the three consecutive reductions, it works out by the time when I get out of my fixed rate contract, or when it expires, I should say, it's actually the variable happened to be lower than what I was fixing. So that was an interesting observation. And that kind of leads to my own thoughts to say, I think in the longer term, the variable rate seems to be the winner. What do you think, Jazz?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you look at the life of the loan, right, and if you leave the, unless you can really time the market in terms of the drops and the increases, for an everyday person, the best option is normally to leave the rate as variable.
Mm.
For various reasons. One, it always comes out as the winner if you look at the long-term stats, right?
Yep.
Secondly, is that if for whatever reason you have to sell the property urgently, you're not paying that break fee or the exit fee, right?
Correct.
If the rates shoot up by the time. So I think it's more for the people who really want the certainty of the payments, that this is what the repayment is going to be, no matter what happens with the rate itself.
Yep.
It's where you're really tight with the cash flow. It's more for that people. But if you can afford to leave it variable where you can deal with the fluctuations, I'll say variable is clearly the winner. I completely stand with you on that.
Yeah, that's what I learned after obviously decided to fix it back in 2017. And now looking from hindsight, I go, ooh, if I leave it as variable, then I probably would have got, I'll probably win a little bit more. I wouldn't say it's a drastic win, but, certainly, and I know, like, having had a few conversations with my clients at the moment as well, because some of them decided to fix a year ago. And now, the one I can think on top of my head, I think he fixed it around 3.99 for investment P&I, and now variable is going to be even lower than that, and he's kicking himself in terms of making that decision and go, the variable is actually lower than fixed, and if I want to break that, then this is how much I'm going to have to pay. So what should I do? So it was an interesting conversation, let's put it that way. But, I certainly think that in the longer term run, the variable rate is definitely going to be the winner in the current environment. And this is what we're seeing for the last, 10, 20 years or so on average. But at the same time, we're moving into a different era to an extent. We're moving into a relatively low growth era. We're moving into a low interest rate environment for a period of time. So, what happens in the past may not necessarily reflect the future. Maybe it is better time to be fixing, in a couple months' time. We don't know. And I guess, Jazz will be able to kind of look back in 2 to 3 years' time again and say, was it actually, just like we look back in Sydney and Melbourne and say the turning point or the bottom was actually around the election time, because after election time, things have gone bonkers. The sentiments change and all that. Similarly, what we could do is probably in the year or two's time, and we can look back and say, is it actually, if someone actually fixed at 2.89 for St. George, at October 2019, and now we're in October 2021, is he going to be a winner or is he going to be a loser?
What I'll say is our last prediction was pretty spot on in terms of the turning point for the property market, right?
Yeah.
So we said around, I think, post-election that this is the bottom. And I don't remember the episode number, David. I'm not sure if you've caught it.
No, I can't remember as well. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's actually called the turning point. This is where the property market will turn. And it happened after that, right? Now, that doesn't mean all our predictions are going to come true, right? But I will say this on the record, that I think interest rates, there's at least one more rate cut that I can clearly see, right? So which means we are going down to 0.5.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we'll go down to zero or not, it's a little early to see, because we are starting to see the previous rate cuts that happened a few months ago.
Yep.
We can clearly see the impact of those rate cuts in the auction clearance rates, right?
Yes.
Not in the overall economy, But in the auction clearance rates, we can definitely see that, right?
And a sales record in the median prices, because I think Sydney's gone up on accumulatively since the election, I think about 4%, and similarly to Melbourne as well. So, you know, that's a pretty impressive result, exactly, given how we performed. Mm.
So RBA is in this funny position where they do actually want to cut the rates, right? But they also know that this is going to lead to another boom in the property market, or pretty solid growth, if you don't want to call it the boom, right? And they really don't want that to happen. And with the last three rate cuts and the auction clearance rates, it's all telling us. And the example that I was showing you before jumping on the recording, we have already seen, especially in the area that I live in, with these three rate cuts that have happened, we have already seen a 10% growth, right?
Yep.
But anyways, the point over there is that we will see another rate cut sometime early next year, right? If not this year, with the possibility that the rates can drop even further. There's a very likelihood of that. And the main reason, this is my prediction, I could be completely wrong on this, and the main reason for the rate cut is not going to be the Australian economy itself, but it will be the Australian dollar. If the Fed starts to cut rate, their economy is not that strong, and they have already started that process. We have seen two cuts that Fed have done in the last 3 or 4 months. And if they're going to cut more, that will make Aussie dollar very strong.
Right? Yes.
Which means RBA is going to be forced to cut the rates, to drop the
Australian dollar, to weaken the Australian dollar, basically.
Exactly. Right? Which means the property prices will shoot up a little bit more.
Mm.
But let's not go towards the property prices side of things. That will get distracted over there a little bit. But the rates itself, there's a good chance that they will drop, which means the fixed rate, there's a possibility, and I'll say this on the record as well, that we'll see the fixed rate somewhere around 2.4% in the next year or so.
Well, I should say you're punting to say you'll be seeing a fixed rate of 2.4% or thereabouts in the next 6 months.
In the next 12 months, let's say.
Okay, in the next 12 months. Yep. Another bit? 12 months, are you sure? You want to extend that 24?
let's leave it to 12 months, to be safe.
All right, that's on record now, mate. That's on record. We'll look back in about 12 months and see what happens.
Yep.
Jazz is punting. Jazz is punting, and I'm sure listeners will be emailing you, or you know, there'll be responses to say, Jazz, I trusted you, but it hasn't gone down to 2.4%. What should I do now?
Now, for the listeners who are planning to buy their homes, the way I look at it, David, is let's not worry about whether the rate is going to go up or down. Let's look at your own financial situation, right? Whether you can afford the uncertainty or you need the certainty of the rates, right? Of the repayments, basically, right?
Yeah.
So if there is that certainty that you need, then fixed is the way to go, irrespective of whether the rate's going to go up or down. Right, and if you don't, then variable is the way to go. Simple.
But I mean, there's another side of it as well. Like, because we're talking very simplistic terms. We're talking about either just to fix the whole thing or not to fix the whole thing. Right. In other words, keep it variable or keep it fixed. But at the same time, we've also got the third option to say, do you want to split the loan? You can fix a portion of it and still keep a portion of it variable as well. So that way, you know, you can take a bit of advantage if you want to. Because, you know, you keep a portion of your loan, which is certain. So you got a bit of certainty there. And that portion is completely up to you in terms of how much you want to hedge on the certainty part and how much you want to hedge on the uncertainty part, which is the variable part. So there's always that option as well. So to our listeners, you know, you don't have to freak, say, oh, do I actually have to fix or do I keep it variable? There's always a third option that you can go with.
This is exactly why you need to go to a good broker. And David is a good broker.
What about you? You should be talking about yourself.
So am I, but I forgot that point.
No, but that's a good point. So that's why I thought it's worth racing. And obviously, I was just giving a bit of hard time before to say, you know, our listeners will be jumping on you when things don't happen with 2.4%. But again, you know, it's we're providing general advice here. But again, you know, it's all depending on your specific circumstances. And I know in our early episodes, we focus on very, very heavily in terms of what you're planning to do with the property. I reckon that's actually the number one question that you want to ask yourself. You know, are you thinking about selling the property, like what Jazz said before? Are you thinking about selling in the next 2 years because of the market condition has now turned? Do you want to be able to sell the property to take some profit out? Or are you intending to actually do some renovations on the property and be able to take out some equity? Because in that case, then you would probably want to keep them variable, again, to avoid the break fee. And if you want to take out some equity, you want to keep it variable so that you got the options open in terms of doing some valuation shopping across different lenders so that you can pick a lender that can give you the most equity in order to move to the next goal. So, you know, I think, yeah, a lot of it comes down to really what your plan for the property is for the next however many years that you're looking at fixing. And, you know, for those bread and butter property which you're not going to do anything and they're holding fairly well and you want a bit of certainty around budgeting, around cash flow, then sure, there's nothing to stop you from, you know, fixing a couple of years and go from there. But yeah, Jazz and I think my general advice for people who's looking at fixing at the moment is also kind of on the same line as Jazz. You know, keep it variable at the moment. There's more upcoming interest rate cuts. We don't know how much. We don't know how many. We don't know when. But certainly they are coming. And the low interest rate environment seems to be here to stay by looking at the trend of these fixed rates. You know, because as we said before, St. George is now offering standard fixed rate for 5 years, and that's only up to, like, you know, around the 3.2s to that 3.4, 3.2s is around that extent. So, you know, they're very, very good. You know, and low rate environment is just going to be here to stay for longer. And we talked about this before we jump on the podcast as well, the recording. You know, if any time they're intending to hike or to bump up the interest rate, that's going to have a severe impact to Australians, because at the moment, you know, it's an over-leveraged debt economy at the moment that we're in. Any 0.25% changes, any 0.5% or even 1% changes is gonna create a lot of burden to household families. What do you reckon on this, Jazz?
No, I think that's a super important point. I think you have overall summed it up pretty well. But just on that point, we know that Australians are over-leveraged. I think we are the second most over-leveraged country in the world. The first one was Canada from memory. And if rates were to shoot up, and plus we deal with the customers on a daily basis, right? We already know, David, that majority of them are actually on the boundary line, right? Where it's for the first home buyers, we are talking mainly here, right? Yep. We're just able to service the loan. And if the rates were to go higher, they probably won't be able to service their own. And they know very well if they were to increase the rates, that it will really harm the property market, right? Just the way it did back in 2017 when they restricted lending. And generally, another good indicator for that is look at what's happening in the more advanced country like US, right? And the trend normally follows from there. So looking at their country at the moment, I mean, the rates are dropping. We know that.
Yeah. Well,
and it's going to be like this for a fairly long time, I think. For the next 3 to 4 years, this is what it's going to be.
That's right. That's what we're seeing from these. That's what we're reading from these fixed rate terms, essentially. But having said that, you know, I guess you want to be cautious in this period as well, because at some point in time, the interest rate will go back up, and it's better off to gear yourself for the worst scenario than being hit by a surprise, a nasty surprise, I should say, in that case. So, you know, I think in general, we're saying this is probably a perfect opportunity to pay down the debt as much as you can in the next few years utilizing the low interest rate environments, because this is a great opportunity to be able to deleverage and get yourself a bit of buffer just to future-proof yourself for that, for the future, in case that the rate does go back up in 5 to 10 years' time. because we're even looking, we're only looking at the next couple of years. It's very, very difficult to read what is going to happen in the long term. But we know on average, based on the past history, I think the average interest rate people are paying is around 7.25%. Obviously, we're not saying it's going to go back up to that level, because, you know, the over-leveraged economy that we're currently in. But we're also not going to be in the low interest rate forever as well. So that's my general advice, is to start looking at how you can improve your overall finances, you know, and I think paying down the debt, have a bit of savings, and also work on increasing your earnings, your income, in order to be able to pay down the debt even quicker. That'll be the couple of things that I think is absolutely critical in the current environment.
There's two different levels to talk at. One is predicting the market, right? Then is obviously looking at your personal situation and what makes sense. And then you go deeper down to look at whether the split loans are required or not, like you said.
That's before. Right.
So all of that comes into the place when you see your broker or your banker, whoever you're dealing with. But seeing the rates of, will we ever go back to 6-7%? Not without a total reset. When I say total reset, the whole banking system and the way economy functions will have to change, or the wages will have to go higher, pretty much double to some extent, to be able to go back to the rate of 6-7%.
That's right. I think the wage growth is the biggest challenge at the moment, right? Because the wage growth is basically stalling. And also the economy growth, GDP and all that is low. So, yes, we're going to have to see a fairly significant change, as you said, in order for rate to go back up to that kind of level. And it could happen. We just don't know when. We don't know how. And for someone who's like me, who doesn't like to punt, and doesn't like to predict, I say, look after yourself, keep yourself in better shape so that you can wear any storms that comes to you.
Yeah, sure. So, David, I've got a question for you, mate.
Go for it.
You reckon AI will take over humanity?
Will AI take over humanity?
Yeah.
When you say humanity, what do you mean?
They'll be controlling humans.
Right. Okay. That's an interesting question, but a good one. So what happens in, like, you know, all these movies in terms of AI take their rebellions and overrule the world?
Exactly.
Look, there is a possibility. I'm not saying it won't happen. But, you know, the AI advances lately has been very, very significant. And they're growing so quick, so fast. It's amazing how much they can do already. And how much these smart devices at our home can do. Like, you know, I was, you know, like those Google Home Minis. Do you have a few at home?
Use it. That's the one that turns my TV on and off. I don't have the remote controllers. Kids have kept it somewhere, so I use Google Mini.
Yeah. So you know, like your kids started to use it. And these so-called smart devices are definitely part of, you know, AI, because from what I'm hearing is, even with the Google Home Smart Mini, or the Google Home Mini, I should say, they will start learning about your patterns. So they like what sort of music you're on, and they will actually start, you know, like they will kind of interpret your mood, they'll interpret the time of the day, and they will think, oh, this is around the time when jazz like to have a bit of a rock band song, let's say, for example. And then they'll pick the one that potentially that you liked before, or similar to the one that you liked before. And using that data, they're going to tell you that's the one that's going to get played next, because out of all the data that you fitted, so let's say, for example, every Saturday night, you play a couple of rock band songs. So come next Saturday night, they might go, okay, well, jazz like, you know, rock band songs on Saturday nights, let's pick one of those that we think that he's going to like. So, you know, with all these combination of big data and AI, it's getting smarter and smarter day by day, and they're growing exponentially to a degree. And that's why I'm not saying they may overtake at some point in time. But at the same time, there's things that they can't overtake as well. You know, obviously they don't have emotions to a degree. Like, they don't have the human emotions and that side of connection side of things. It's always going to, you know, it's because at the end of the day, they're programs. they could potentially develop their own emotions again, but that's another level. So I'm kind of like putting that aside at the moment, just thinking from the current AI terms. So will that overtake human and humanity to that extent? Possibly. At one point in time, we don't know how many years, and when the future generations, at one point in time, that may happen. But right at this point in time, you know, they're still learning and learning to do things very, very quickly, to the point where it's scaring me how much they can do things. So that's why I say it's a possibility.
Do you think if it was to happen, do you think it would be in our lifetime?
I reckon very, very likely it could happen in our lifetime. I reckon given another 10 to 20 years, our world would be quite different to what it looks like now. I mean, even just looking at a couple of years, right? Like a couple of years down the track, it's going to be very different. All these smart devices are already around us and surrounding us. And, you know, things get turned on without you knowing it. It could be spying on us at the same time, right? So it depends on how it's being used.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I'm like you on this one a little bit. Look, I think they will transform the way things work.
Yes.
Definitely. They'll be much more intelligent than humans,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. But will they be able to take over humans? I still don't think so. But like you said, there's a possibility and there's a 50-50 chance that it can happen. Maybe that's going to be the next evolution of humans, which is AI. Maybe I don't know whether you have read it or not, but Neuralink is a new technology where they actually plant a chip in your head,
mm-hmm.
and that can actually read your thoughts, basically, as they are evolving. Let's say you are trying to lift your hand up, right? It will actually know from your brain sensors or whatever you want to call them, that this is the tone of your brain when it's trying to lift the hand up, which means next time they can actually write it as well, where you can pass the command to your brain and it will actually do it for you instead of your brain thinking.
So it interprets the neural pulses and exactly. and link that to the actual action and behavior that you're doing.
Correct. So the first part of that is read only, where you can actually read those senses and form the neural commands for it. And yep. So you exactly know what to pass. And the next development in that space is going to be where you actually pass the command rather than brain passing it. It will come through the computer. Or, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
That's scary. That's scary, mate.
That will definitely happen in our lifetime. And I think that will actually end up happening in the next 5 to 10 years. And that will be the next smart form of humans, like, I think.
That's going to be another evolution, I reckon. Which is already fast. Around us.
Yeah. Like you said, technology is moving fast. So stay tuned to that space. World is changing. And we are seeing it firsthand. Like, the driverless cars are coming in, so...
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. That's the first evolution that's coming in, right? Driverless cars, which have already been tested, and then you know, most of the daunting stuff is going to get overtaken by AI. Didn't they predict like half of the population is going to lose their job to a degree? So scary stuff, but at the same time, exciting stuff in terms of where we're moving into.
More scary and exciting and interesting. So it's all there. But nothing beats property. We have got the love affair for property for our listeners. Hope you guys are enjoying the content. If you're not, if you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, Podbean, or whatever app you're using. Jazz and David, bye.
Bye. If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.